Let us be hospitable to you while you're here, especially those of you who are visiting. We're talking about hospitality today, particularly hospitality to strangers. Because that's really what the word hospitality means. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, down through verses 13 and verse 3, the Hebrew writer gives us some admonitions of a sort, various different things. He says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." Well, we want to focus certainly on the one where he says, do not forget to entertain strangers. Don't forget to be hospitable to strangers. The word hospitality actually comes from the Greek words philo, for love, and xenia, a stranger. Hospitality literally translated would be to love a stranger, to show love to a stranger. And that's really what it is, although we usually think of hospitality more in terms of people that we do know. We think when family comes in from out of town and we let them stay with us, we're being hospitable. We think when we invite somebody from church over for Sunday dinner, we're being hospitable. And in the sense that we use the term, we are. But the original term referred to being kind to strangers, showing that brotherly love, that phileo type of love, towards someone you didn't even know. And there are certainly several examples of that throughout the Scriptures. And of course, the Hebrew writer mentions that some who had done that had entertained angels without knowing it. One that comes to mind as a possibility certainly is Lot, who invited the strangers who were in the street square to come into his house because he knew that it wouldn't be safe for them to stay out in the street in Sodom or Gomorrah. And so he invited them to come into his house and to lodge with him that night. He surely at some point realized that those men were angels, but he didn't realize it when he invited them in. Now, when we think about being kind to strangers, we often think how much we would want strangers to be kind to us, and yet we must realize that if we want that treatment ourselves, we need to show that kind of treatment to others. One of the things that's often lamented in our society is, well, people just don't help each other out like they used to. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Of course, people talk about the dangers of crime and, you know, somebody stops to help somebody and gets robbed or something like that, and they mention those things. But the fact of the matter is that in a large part, it's just the way our society has become. Just like the ingratitude that we talked about this past week, that we talked about in class this morning, that people have just become less and less thankful and less grateful. At the same time, they've become less and less helpful, less and less hospitable toward others. There was a popular show in the 1950s where a millionaire would watch for people to do something kind or special, and then when they did, surprise them with a big check for a lot of money when they did some kindness. Well, there was another man who did a similar type thing, who helped people who needed it instead of just helping those that did something special. This man, age 53 at the time of the writing of this particular article, was Thomas Cannon. He wasn't a multimillionaire. He was just a postal worker in Richmond, Virginia. He earned at the most $16,000 a year. It's the most he ever earned. But during the last 5 years of the time before this was written, he had given away $33,000. Now, for someone who's a millionaire, that might not seem like much, but for someone who only makes $16,000 a year, that's 2 years' salary that he gave away in 5 years. That's a lot of money for him. Most of that money was in $1,000 checks that he gave to strangers whose misfortunes or good deeds he'd read about. He gave to a Colombian orphan who needed heart surgery, to a couple who had fostered 40 children, to a civic-minded wealthy businessman who quickly returned the gift, and others as well. He believes that storing up wealth for himself is a very self-destructive thing, and so he chooses to live on as little as they can, while he and his wife, Princetta, give away as much as they can. That's a different kind of attitude, isn't it? Not one you run across very often. And when we think about giving to strangers, helping strangers, showing kindness to strangers, beyond just the, well, hey, how you doing? But even that is a start. Just a smile can be helpful to some people. One of the things that we have to realize about the history of this in the Jewish culture, and in fact in a lot of the culture in other parts of the world, there was a very serious obligation in their mind to help someone who was a traveler. Of course, back in the Old Testament times specifically, they weren't commonly a lot of hotels or inns around for people to stop at. And so when someone came to a city, they needed someone, especially if it was a city where they didn't have family or friends already, they needed someone to stay with. And there are dozens of cases throughout the Old Testament of people taking strangers in. On some occasions, it would be someone like a prophet, and in one case, a couple even built an extra room onto their house for this traveling prophet who came by, and they wanted to have a place especially for him when he traveled through. But on several occasions, travelers were traveling. On one occasion, Abraham, of course, helps these three strangers, stops and as they come by, and he lets them sit under the shade of his tree. He fixes a meal for them, and as he has a conversation with them, he realizes that those three strangers, of course, are the Lord and two of his angels. And he recognizes that as they continue to converse together. What if he had shunned them and they had gone on by? He wouldn't have had that conversation about Isaac being born the following year. But they had the attitude that only someone who was seriously depraved of mind and soul would reject helping a fellow human being who was in need, or a fellow traveler. A traveler depended on the kindness of others and expected it. Not that he had an idea that, well, everybody has to give me stuff, but it was expected because it was the norm. It was the way their society acted. We could go through all of the different cases in the Old Testament. There certainly are dozens. But if we want to get through the rest of the meanings of hospitality, as you see on your outline there, we better move along. We have hospitality spelled out down the side of your outline. And we have a word for each letter. The H is for helpfulness. Gaius is a perfect example of this. 3 John, verses 4 through 8. John says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey, in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. In this case, those that Gaius had helped were actually missionaries of a sort. They had gone out not taking money from the Gentiles to preach the gospel. They had preached the gospel to the Gentiles. And Gaius was one of the people who helped them in that by providing them a place to be and also perhaps even some financial support for the road and for their efforts in spreading the gospel. And because of that, he was not only being helpful to them, but he was spreading the gospel. Even though he himself may not have traveled away from home in a missionary capacity, by helping them to go, he was helping the gospel to be spread. And we also can do that by helping missionaries in their travels. The O is for obedience. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 8 through 10. Peter says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You know, sometimes the hospitality is returned. Sometimes there's something that we can do for a person and they do something else for us. And maybe we let somebody stay with us when they're traveling through, and then when we're traveling through where they live, we stay with them. Those kinds of things may happen as well. But it's a matter of obedience. It's not a matter of, well, I want to or I don't like to. Peter tells us to be hospitable to one another and to do it without grumbling. It's a command. And so we need to be obedient and be hospitable. And more than just being hospitable, certainly if someone's hospitable but gripes and complains the whole time, that's not going to be very pleasant for anyone involved. And so when we're hospitable, we need to be hospitable, and at the same time, we need to be doing it without grumbling. Of course, the Bible tells us to do all things without murmuring and complaining, not just being hospitable to one another. But we can certainly think of times when others have been hospitable to us and what a blessing it was to us. But what we forget sometimes is what a blessing it is on our side to give hospitality to others. Then we want to look at sympathy. If we feel sympathy for another, then we're going to show some hospitality. Luke 14, verses 12 through 14. "Then he also said to him who invited him, 'When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just.'" You know, so many in our society today have the attitude, what am I going to get out of it? I only do things if I can get something out of it in return. I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch mine, as the old saying goes. And yet the Bible teaches us that we need to have a far longer vision. We need to not be concerned if we provide someone with a meal or help them in some way, that they may not be able to return it, or that they may not be willing to return it, whichever the case may be, but that our good deed will be known by God and that we will receive a reward in that later day at the judgment. Instead of always being concerned with getting paid back here and now, We need to realize there are some things we need to do to be building up our treasure in heaven. And hospitality is certainly one of those things that we can do. Now certainly, different people are limited on different degrees of hospitality. Some people are not able to go to great expensive lengths because they themselves don't have much. And God certainly doesn't expect it to be elaborate. I remember one person talking about the fact that the best time of fellowship that they ever experienced, the greatest time of hospitality that was shown to them, was nothing more than a time when some family from church had invited them over, and all they had was just some sandwiches and some chips and water to drink, and they sat and talked and played a game together. But they said that was one of the best memories they had ever of hospitality in their lifetime. It doesn't have to be a steak dinner or some expensive, elaborate thing. That's not the point. Now, if you were thinking of giving me a steak dinner, don't let me deter you from that. I'm not discouraging that. But that doesn't have to be big and fancy. The small things can be meaningful as well. And so we need to look for those opportunities to show sympathy to another. You know, sometimes just a cup of water, as the song says, if just a cup of water is placed in your hand, you know, sometimes just a very small thing can make such a difference in your life at just the right time. But then the P we want to notice here is for perception. Perception. Sometimes we don't show the hospitality that we should because we've blinded our eyes to the needs of others. We've closed our eyes. We just don't have the perception to see what's needed and opportunities to give hospitality when we could. Luke 16:19-25, Jesus tells about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had wealth untold. He, it is said, fared sumptuously. In other words, he didn't just have Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving. He feasted like it was Thanksgiving every day. Some of us could be said to do that in this country as well. We have so much, so many times, so many of us. And yet, at his gate, right outside his door, there was a beggar, a man by the name of Lazarus, who had nothing. In fact, he was in such bad shape that he wished that he could eat the crumbs that fell on the ground from this man's table. That's how pitiful the condition of this man was. And yet that rich man, no telling how much food he threw away in a week's time. But this rich man never noticed Lazarus at his gate. Never even paid him any attention. Never gave him a bite to eat. Never gave him any medicine for his sores or helped him even to go to see the doctor. Never did anything to help this poor, sick man that was laying right outside his door. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting up every day and leaving your house and walking out your door and seeing someone sick with sores, all shriveled up and starving, laying right there by your door, and walking by that every day on your way to work, and every day again on your way home, and never doing a thing to help. Now, of course, we understand we can't help everyone in the world. That's certainly the case. But here was a man right by his door, and it wasn't as though he was hurting. Now, he wasn't about to get foreclosed on and about to have his chariot repoed and behind on his bills or anything. He was a rich man. He ate fabulously every day. But he couldn't even give up one bite of one of those meals for this fellow. Now some might be tempted to pick on Lazarus for being a beggar. But Jesus didn't tell this story to make out Lazarus to be the bad guy. Everything that Jesus tells us about this story is that Lazarus was right with God. He wasn't a bum who was out there to take advantage of the rich man. I know some of us are kind of jaded and we see somebody with their hand out, we think that they're just taking advantage of people, they won't help to get a job. Well, this poor fellow, he was sick and had sores all over him. He couldn't work. See, Jesus paints a picture for us here of a man who obviously was in need. Wasn't somebody who had wasted his life in riotous living and drunkenness. Because when he dies, where does he get to go? He goes to heaven. See, this was a godly man. But here was a godly man starving to death and with sores all over him right outside this rich man's gate. May our perception of the needs of others never become so dull that we would miss a Lazarus sitting outside our gate. The eye is for importance. It's an important thing. Hebrews 13, 1 through 3, he mentions it. He says, do not forget. Don't forget to entertain strangers. It's important. You know, we often make a to-do list or a don't forget list of things that are important, reminders list of, oh yeah, I've got this appointment. These are important things. And so we write them down. We remember those, want to remember those important things. This is an important thing. It's important if we want to be pleasing to God. And then, of course, there's the matter of tenderness. You know, it's true that in this wicked old world, sometimes we have to have the skin of a rhinoceros. We got to have maybe the skin of a dinosaur. We got to have some tough skin. But it's a very, very sad thing when that toughness gets all the way to our heart. To have a hardened heart is not a good thing. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You know that? Given to hospitality. Not just something that we force ourselves to do every once in a blue moon, but he talks about being addicted to it. We talked about addiction a couple of weeks back. He talks about being given to hospitality. Let it rule your life. Become a hospitable kind of person. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. He goes on to tell several other things that we should do. In fact, he goes so far as to say that even our enemies, in verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That's a little different than the discussion I had Friday with someone on this subject. And it's a little different than hospitalizing your enemy. Showing hospitality even to your enemy is a little different than hospitalizing them. But we need to realize how important it is to show love to strangers, even to those that don't like us, to still show that love and kindness to them. That's what separates the Christian from just the average person of the world. Jesus talks about the fact that the average person in the world, he's kind to the people that are kind to him. He loves the people that love him. He does good things for the people who do good things for him. The thing that makes Christians different is they go beyond that and they go and do kind things for people who don't like them and don't do kind things for them. Even people who would be cruel to them and do mean things to them. That's a difficult step to take. Certainly wouldn't want to give anybody the impression that I've accomplished that in my life. But we need to know where we're headed and we need to know the direction we should be taking in order to ever arrive where we need to be. Then we want to notice as well that hospitality must be active. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12 says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Hospitality is not just a compassionate attitude. It's not like James said, go and be warmed and filled. No. Hospitality is an active action verb. You're doing something. You're showing that love to that stranger. You're doing that kindness to them. And of course, hospitality certainly must be loving. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, Paul says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith and could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing." Now if I write a big check for the TV cameras and give it to somebody just so I can get famous, that doesn't really accomplish much, does it? Oh, well now, the money still spends the same to the people that received it. But as far as my rightness with God, my relationship with Him, I'm not really showing hospitality out of a loving heart. And that's certainly one of the things that hospitality really must be. Sometimes when giving is done at such a distance that it's not felt personally, we don't realize how much it helps and we don't feel the benefits that come from the giving. You see, if I drop a check in a bucket somewhere for some charity that's going to spend it somewhere else and I never know who was helped or how they were helped or even if anybody actually got helped from that money I gave, that's very different than if there's somebody hungry knocking at my door and I feed them a meal. I know I've helped and I know who I've helped and I know how much I've helped. There's certainly a difference. But hospitality is also impressive to God. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, we certainly won't read all of this passage. But Jesus conveys to us a picture of judgment. And one of the things that He portrays as happening at the judgment day is that He says to the sheep, "This is what is the difference between you and them. This is why you get to come into heaven. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came and visited me." Now they said, "We never saw you, Lord." And He said, "As you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me." Now, we certainly understand that just going out and helping people is not the only thing that a Christian has to do. And it, certainly if someone who's not a Christian goes out and helps people, it won't make them a Christian. But it is one of the things that Jesus described as being something that painted the difference between His children and the children of the world. We need to look for those opportunities so that we can make that impression upon God. Because He is impressed by us when we do that which is good. Then, of course, hospitality is thoughtful. Luke 10:30-37, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan that we know so well. That Good Samaritan stopped to help a man who was beaten and half dead. A stranger to him. A Jewish man who despised Samaritans, most likely. And yet this Samaritan stopped to help him anyway. He took care of him personally, aided him how he could, took him to an inn, and left money for him to be taken care of as well. There were many attitudes seen in these different people in this parable. The Levite and the priest saw someone who was only trouble and didn't want anything to do with it. They were only concerned with self. The robbers, of course, saw the man as somebody they could beat up and rob. The innkeeper even saw the man only as a way to get money for a bed for another night paid on another room rented. But the Good Samaritan saw the man as his neighbor, one who was in need and hurting and needed his help. He was thoughtful. He thought of others before he thought of himself. You know, we talked about the fact that so many times we reject some hospitality because of the dangerous world that we live in. But the story that Jesus tells here of this Good Samaritan, what kind of dangerous world was he living in? How did he know that those robbers weren't waiting around the rock to get the next guy that stopped by? And yet he stopped anyway. And he risked his life to help this man who had suffered already, thinking of others more highly than ourselves is part of hospitality. And then hospitality is yielding. Job 31:31-32, Job says, "If the men of my tent have not said, 'Who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat?' But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler." You want to talk about somebody wealthy? Job was wealthy. Job said, "Let me tell you something. Nobody that lived in my village ever went to bed hungry at night, because I'd make sure they were fed." And he said, "No traveler ever had to stay in the streets if he came through my town, because I invited him in." Now, I don't imagine Job may have lived in a city the size of ours, even. But can you imagine, even in a little town, being able to say, "No traveler ever came through and didn't have a place that they could stay. Nobody ever in our little town went to bed hungry at night because I made sure they were fed if they needed food." Job was hospitable. He yielded to God in every area. Job was a righteous man. There's no wonder God says of him, he was perfect. Now we know he wasn't sinless perfect, but boy, compared to all the rest of us, Job was a great man. God loved him very much. You know, hospitality, of course, is not just to strangers, but sometimes the way we treat strangers really shows the attitude that we have deep down inside toward even our closest family members. Sometimes we'll do those things for family, well, because it's family, but we'll do it murmuring and complaining and grumbling and resentful the whole time. A soldier called his mother from San Francisco Bay, said, "Mother, I'll be coming home, but hear me what I say. I want to bring a buddy, please, Mom, if you don't mind. He has one leg, one arm, one eye, and he needs your love so kind." The mother told her soldier with a harsh and bitter tone, "No, don't bring your buddy here. Find him another home. We just don't have a place for him, and if it's how you say, we sure don't need a handicap to be here in the way." Then later came a telegram. The soldier boy was dead. He took his life. They found a note, and this is what it said. "No, don't bring your buddy here." His mother's words were they. "We sure don't need a handicap to be here in the way." At last the wheels stopped turning as the mother met the train. She came to get her only son with tears that fell like rain. She stared into the cold steel box to kiss her boy goodbye. And there he was, a handicap. One leg, one arm, one eye. My son found out how his mother really felt. How would we have felt? What would we have said in a similar situation? Is it possible you've missed out on opportunities to show loving kindness to strangers? Have you missed an opportunity to serve Jesus because you didn't serve the least of His brethren? How many blessings have you missed out on in your own life? Jesus said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." How many times have we missed out on the blessedness that comes from being able to give? If you've missed out on those things, if you have need of the prayers of the church, if you need to repent of any other sin in your life, if you need to become a child of God this morning by believing, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism, whatever need you may have today, please come as we stand and as we sing.